Welcome to my Blog Talk Radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for today's show are Vanessa Adlawan and Tanya Busby. As an energy healer, Vanessa Adlawan combines her intuition with ancient Hawaiian healing principles to induce deep relaxation and to help you connect with your capacities to heal yourself. Tanya Busby is widely recognized and respected for her dedication to women's advocacy. Through life coaching, speaking, and workshops, she counsels women in recovery. Join us for a conversation about their chapters on purpose and gifts in the inspiring new book, Lead, Amazing Woman, Lead. Welcome, Vanessa.
Thank you.
Welcome,
Thank
Tanya.
You for having me. Thank you.
Welcome,
Thank you,
Tanya. I am so excited to talk to you two about your chapters from Lead, Amazing Woman, Lead. What a book.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I've been enjoying talking with each of the authors this month, and you two are the last two that I'll be talking to. And so I'm excited to hear about your chapters. Vanessa, do you want to start and tell us a little bit about your chapter on purpose?
Sure. Thank you. So, yes, I spoke to purpose, you know, your sacred assignment. And, you know, it shows up in many ways. And so in writing this chapter, I was really able to go and reflect a lot and actually and try and articulate in a story type format.
Mm-hmm.
and give my experiences. Because I'm dealing on the subtle level of our being, you know, it's quite interesting. And, you know, as I always say, you know, sometimes our purpose shows up in many different forms in the beginning, you know, such as grief, pain, you know, things of that nature, you know, stories that we kind of look back on and kind of connect the dots later. So that was how I approached it.
Well, that, when you said that about connecting the dots, it reminded me of Steve Jobs talking about that, about when he looked back, he could connect the dots of why he ended up taking classes in calligraphy, I think it was, and some of the other things that didn't seem like they had anything to do with computers. But everything does lead you to what you're supposed to do if you listen to your heart, and especially if you look back and look at that. Your stories were amazing, and I just couldn't even believe it. I ended up reading the chapter twice, both of your chapters twice, because there was so much to learn from the life experiences that you had in the book. And I think, Tanya, let's talk a little bit about yours now. You're writing about gifts and self-love and sacred gifts. So tell us a little bit about your chapter.
And thank you, Margot. Yes, I do. I talk about self-love and I talk about gifts like it is. And the sacred gifts mean our internal gifts. And for me, I really like the way you just described, you know, how our path, you know, individually, how they have taken us to where we are today. And basically that's really what I'm talking about, really honing in on self-love and self-awareness and really learning and learning oneself, you know. And I talk about it from a perspective of I grew up at a very young age having my first child at 17 and, you know, going into college, but being a parent and working and juggling all these things in order to make sure I provided a good life for him and the rest of my children. And mm-hmm. During that time, I was so busy being a parent and trying to figure out life I realized once I got, you know, older, and my kids are all adults now, I realized once I got older that I really didn't know who I was to my core. So when I talk about accessing our sacred gifts, I really talk about finding, you know, that my true self, and, you know, uncovering the layers of what society thinks you should be, as opposed to just being who I am and loving who I am, just being me.
I can totally relate. I only have one child, and he's 30 now, and I was 36 the week before he was born. So, you know, I was a lot much older parent than either of you were. So it was really interesting for me to read what your experiences were like. But I have to say that even though I didn't have children early in my life, or a child early in my life, I still, at that age, was still not sure who I was. I was so into being who everyone else wanted me to be, expected me to be, and that sort of thing. So I really needed to figure that out. And then again, once he grew up and went off to college back in 2008, I went through another time where I had to figure out what was next for me. You know, because, I mean, I think that's one of the things that people need to do on a regular basis, maybe almost every decade, is look back and then also start looking at what ways they can maybe live their gifts and their purpose at this new age. So,
I love that.
Yes.
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, well, thank you. But I think that the whole idea about self-love is such a huge topic. And I think because it is actually part of both of your chapters, I'd like to hear both of you talk a little bit about self-love and about how you found it. I mean, from reading the chapters, I can tell that you didn't feel that way, which I did either earlier on, that it was something I felt for myself. So, Tanya, do you want to start and talk a little bit about it? And then, Vanessa, after that, I'd like to hear your take on it.
Sure. And thank you. Yes, it's funny because I think you just mentioned, Margot, I possibly didn't know that I didn't love myself. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, raising kids, doing all the things that I was doing, you know, being a multitasker, just the things that women do, we can do a lot. We can hold down a lot. And, you know, I really, and to be honest, I mean, I feel like I'm a beautiful person on the outside. So when you look at, sometimes you look, for me, I would look in the mirror and think, wow, you know, God gave me such a beautiful face. And, you know, I was judged based on my outward appearance. And I had really just never realized that there was unhealed parts of me. Internally, you know, we all have different things that we need to heal from, and I didn't realize I had those things that I was unhealed in certain areas, and sometimes that can be identified through one's behavior, you know, the acting out, not being happy, always wanting this to happen before you're happy, or always wanting this person to change before, you know, always something, but never really looking at myself. And so that was the start for me, was to recognize that just because there's a lot of beautiful looking people and there's a lot of great looking, we're a lot of great looking society, but that means nothing. And the biggest wake up call for me was when I went through a divorce about 15 years ago or so. I didn't realize what my favorite things were. You know, it was like I looked up. And it was like, you know, what are my favorite types of movies? You know, and they weren't action. You know, like a lot of times when you have kids or and a husband, you know, action movies or, you know, those gory movies or stuff like that. I don't really care for those. And it was like, wow, if that's not really what I would go see by myself, what is it that I would go see by myself? So for me, self-love started just basically with learning what my favorite things were. And that's an evolving thing for me today. You know, my favorite things change. But that was the start for me.
I have to say, I loved the way you wrote about that in the chapter about looking for what are my favorite things. Because, you're right. I mean, people feel like they're either judged by how they look, either too good or too bad or too this or too that or whatever. But really, when I see self-love, I'm thinking of capital S, space, and then capital L-O-V-E, all in caps, you know, because it's about loving who you are inside. And by figuring out your favorite things, that's your spirit inside that's saying, ooh, I like that. That really lights me up.
Exactly, so, exactly.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate for me that, you know, sometimes we can get mixed, you know, life can mix things up with these outward appearances as opposed to just, you know, what our inward appearances are. That just wasn't something that was taught to me naturally, you know, that just wasn't something that came to me naturally, and it's something that I had to dig deep and learn.
I would be willing to bet that it really isn't something most people ever learned and figure out later. What do you think about that, Vanessa?
Yeah, I mean, speaking to self-love, I've found that during my whole life, all my experiences, you know, there have been so many where that it took me not until my late, you know, 30s, 40s, when I had time to settle down that, you know what, I'm not the only one this has happened to, number
mm-hmm.
one. And number two, these things are not happening anymore. So what became of that was an awareness and a self-love to me that looked like it had expanded outside of me. And my awareness just grew to the point that I knew that my purpose was coming through. I had to first step into my mission to get to my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so so the self-love to me was the acceptance of everything and making sure that I had the awareness to take the wisdom and what I needed from it so that I could move forward and assist others who might need it. So that brings me lots of joy and happiness to my heart. So the self-love is just an extension of my inward going outward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the best way I can explain it at this point.
I love that. I love that. You know, for me, I realized quite a few years ago, I was listening to a woman give a speech about loving yourself, and she was saying to write on a card, "I love myself." And that same night at Toastmasters, I've spoken about this before, one mm-hmm. of the men in the club had given a tip about pausing to emphasize things. And so the next day I was on assisting my husband on a photo shoot, and
mm-hmm.
I was playing with it, saying, "I love myself. I love myself.
Mm-hmm.
I love myself." And that's when I started realizing that if you made the space between my and self, it felt more like it was your inner being you were talking to. And that
mm-hmm.
felt more natural to me than when Louise Hay would say to just look at the mirror and say, "I love you. I really, really love you." That was harder
yeah.
for me. It still kind
mm-hmm.
of makes me giggle when I do that. But on the front of her book, You Can Heal Your Life, it actually does say, "I love myself." And so after I started doing
yeah.
that, I realized that. So I hope
that's one of my favorite books.
Oh, it's definitely one of mine, too. I have the illustrated version and the regular version because I like to highlight the regular ones. But the illustrated one, have either of you seen the illustrated version of it?
Yeah, that's the one I have with all the colors and it's beautiful.
No,
I don't think I have. I think it's still available on Amazon, but, oh, yeah. My mom, it was because of my mom that I ended up getting the Well, at first I bought the illustrated one just because I love books and book design and doing that sort of thing as part of my work with my husband in his graphic design business. So I bought the book, and I hadn't read it. And my mom got diagnosed with lung cancer back in 2005. And so I ended up I told her about Louise Hay healing from the cancer and how she had written this book, You Can Heal Your Life, and she says, "Oh, I want to read it." Well, I showed her the book, and she's going, "There's no pictures."
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, at home I have the one with the pictures. So I went to the bookstore
Uh-oh.
and got her the one that had all the beautiful illustrations. And, you know, she just loved that, and she took it with her everywhere she went, and to the chemo appointments, et cetera. And she believed she could heal, and she did. She healed from that. Unfortunately, her heart got her at the end of 2006. But her last couple of years of her life were some of the happiest times of her life, because I think reading Louise Hay's book, she started realizing how important it is to love yourself.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that I really love that Vanessa said, and you just said it too when you were talking, and I'm sorry about your mom as well, but what I heard you both say, that you found out that you were safe in knowing that it was okay to be you. Like, I heard that just come, it wasn't, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the same thing that I experienced, which is just the safety of it's okay to be alone with myself. It's okay to get to know my, like, that's, if I can't be safe being with me, then where can I be safe, you know?
Oh, that's such a good point. Yeah.
Yes. And this is Vanessa. And there was some, at one point, where I had to redesign and redefine the word love so that it worked at its highest expression for me. And that's when everything just burst open. You know, we're taught love is a certain way and a certain way of being. But no, love is actually very big. Love is huge. And it's felt in the body. You know, it's felt in the body first. It's felt, and so that was huge. That was a huge breakthrough for me a couple of years ago. Yeah.
You know, I had that same type of realization myself, and I don't remember when it was. It's been a number of years ago now. But people always talk about, even Wayne Dyer did, and I love him, and that's part of why my show is called Live Your Music, is because of him saying don't die with your music still in you. But he would say unconditional love, and so many people talk about unconditional love, and to me, what I realized a number of years ago is that all caps L-O-V-E period, that is just love. It's not romantic love, it's not conditional love, and you don't need to have the word unconditional there, because if you're really talking about love, you're right. I mean, it is just automatically without conditions. So,
I agree, and I like the way you both describe that. And, you know, some people say, and you hear people say it, but until you really experience it, you know, you cannot love anything else until you love yourself, and it's so true. Mm-hmm. It's so true. And, it does. It starts by sometimes just spending 5 minutes with yourself, you know, and but for me, like I said, just starting with my favorite things and then going on from, and what's cool about that is, you know, what's my favorite day of the week? Well, what's my favorite color? And what's, you know, my favorite car? And, you know, just simple things, and then you start getting into more complicated things. Like, what's my favorite country to visit, and what's my favorite time to, you know, it just, you can have fun with it, and it's great. It's a great way to, and it's a great way to meditate too. I can meditate doing just, you know, being around my favorite things, or focusing on my favorite things, and so forth.
I absolutely love that. I've always loved that song about the favorite things, too, from Sound of Music, too, and that has brought to mind that song. But, yeah, just, Vanessa, what are some of your favorite things?
So one of my favorite things, I love to eat, and I like to travel. I love new places, meeting new people, sitting quiet. But what's funny is that until I realized that I can pull from many belief systems, many philosophies, and take and keep whatever I want to live my life, that was almost a threshold for me to kind of say, you know what? I like this. I'm going to do this. I don't like that. I don't need that. So just realizing that I don't have to be stuck in one place and follow one system. I have so much to choose from, And it was just like a threshold I had to cross to realize that I do have the freedom to do that. It's very liberating.
Oh, totally. You know, I remember when you said that, it brought to mind this friend of ours that years and years ago, he would say to me, oh, so now you're into Tony Robbins. Oh, now you're into Deepak Chopra. Oh, now you're into Wayne Dyer. I'm going, no,
yeah,
I like some of what Tony says. I like some of what Wayne says.
Yeah.
I like some of what Deepak says. I take what I like from each one and then blend it into my own version of what I feel is true.
I agree with that too, Vanessa. I love that because it's funny. I'm in my office now, and I love to travel. And my thought process and belief system has grown just kind of like what you just described. And it's funny. I'll go to different countries, and I don't diss anyone's form of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, you know, or anything.
Nope.
As a matter of, I mean, you would come into my office and I have something from all different types of religion
exactly.
because wherever I go. And like you said, my perception of love and God to me is love. So my perception of love and God continues to evolve and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's just so beautiful to be able to be so open to other religions, other people's beliefs and thoughts, because who am I, you know, to say something doesn't exist or isn't the correct way when, you know, just being open to other people's beliefs can grow my own self-love, because every time I close myself off to something, I'm closing myself off possibly to love or learning something new or what have you. And so I completely related to what you shared. Thank you.
Yes, of course. You know, and it's important to know that when we're open and accepting to many, many things, we're actually allowing ourselves to open up different perspectives and perceptions that allow us to take in and grow and evolve. And
absolutely.
That is what we need. We need to be open to everything. You know, no cause for judgment, just to be open and observe. And that's been part of my evolution.
Well, that's something that Wayne Dyer used to say all the time that came to mind while you two were talking about that, is to have a mind that's open to everything and attached to nothing. No thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, why not listen to the different perspectives and say, maybe that makes sense. Maybe I'll try that. And then you can try it. And if you don't like it, don't put it on your list of favorite things.
Exactly.
There
yeah.
you go. There you go. Because, you know, part of knowing what your favorite things are also knowing what you don't like, right?
Oh, exactly.
You need to know what you don't like. And so that's one way to figure out what you do like, is by, you know, checking off the things that you don't want to try anymore. So that's helpful.
Yeah, exactly. And some people, they have a list of all the don't likes in their mind of what they don't like, and they tell you what they don't like, but they don't turn it around to what do I like and then focus on that. Yeah.
So positivity is important. There's another important part about self-love, is trying to surround yourself around positive things, positive people, positive, you know, affirmations, just, you know, because, you know, we can all use, especially, you know, in today's day and age, we can all use a little pick-me-up. We can all use a little positivity, a little encouragement, love, excitement.
Oh, so true. Yeah. Well, now,
yes.
I'm going to start with you, Tanya, since you're already speaking. What is something that you especially want the audience to know about your chapter?
What I want you listener to know about my chapter is part of really, because I know I'm talking like a lot about like the end of, not the end of, but where I'm at, but I don't always talk a lot about how I got there. And so one of the parts that might be interesting would be, you know, just learning about how me personally, how I was in denial. And I kind of spoke a little bit about it by not saying I didn't know or what have you, but it was really like denial. So like identifying the denial of, you know, my authentic self and society too. Society, you know, helped me to allow myself to deny myself, you know, and a lot of that has to do with upbringing, I think, and just certain places I may have been or placed in as, you know, from a childhood of, you know, what's right and what's wrong and what you don't do and what you can't do and what's not acceptable and realize, and so denying, so realize, oh, so if this is wrong or this is, you know, not acceptable to, you know, my parents or, you know, my husband or what have you, then this is not acceptable at all. And, but it was, you know, these are things that aren't, you know, they're just not the perfect, you know, societal norms, but to me, there's no perfect societal norms, but thinking outside of the box and being outside of the box, that's okay. So just knowing that, you know, I know there's people that we can go through times where we're struggling and mm-hmm. knowing that, you know, if you're a great person and you're doing the best that you can, you know, learning to be who you are authentically without worrying about what other people think, what other people, you know, there's no perfect person. And so that part, not denying who I truly am to please other people.
And, you know, the thing is that we all are taught certain things as we're growing up from our parents, from schools, from our grandparents, from society, from TV and whatever. And the thing is that we really all need to figure out what works for us. And while you were talking about that, it reminded me of the story of this man who asked his wife why she cut off the ends of the ham. And she goes, well, I always done that because my grandmother always did that. And so they go over to the grandmother's house to have dinner, and he asks the grandmother, why do you cut the ends off the ham? And she says, because my pan's too small, dummy. And all these generations of women were cutting off the ends of the ham because grandma's pan was too small.
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, but how mm-hmm. often do we all do that? You know, we get used to doing things a certain way and don't question it. I've actually always been kind of a rebel and a scurvy elephant, as Wayne Dyer called it, and questioning things. Well, why? Why would I want to do it that way? Is there a better way? And I think because creativity needs us to question things and go, ooh, maybe there's a better way to do the dishes or to do this or to do that. It makes you question it and start looking at that. And oh, I hope that people listening will do that. Start questioning, why am I doing it this way? Is there a better way? What are my favorite things?
Right.
Absolutely.
Vanessa, what mm-hmm. would you like people to know about your chapter?
So my chapter, it ultimately, I mean, the message that I would like to come across is that, you know, even through everything, you know, there are moments and opportunities for us to gain compassion and insight and know that, you know, everybody is in this together. And so a lot of the times, you know, forgiveness, compassion, kindness, and grace, all those things come into play. Mm-hmm. And in my specific case, you know, it was such that it was on a subtle level, and it's sometimes hard for people to digest that. So a lot of the times in my life, I was left to my own devices to figure things out and just become accepting of it. And sometimes that's what you have to do. And so that's how my shakeup started, is that I just had to learn, realize that what is my purpose out of all of this, you know, and why is it that energy is so sensitive to me? Why is it that I could see certain things? Why is it, you know, all these questions that come up. And it came to the point where once I made up my mind and turned that corner and committed, it was because I no longer needed proof of anything, because I was getting constant feedback from the universe and people very quickly. So I knew that, you know, this is the way I'm supposed to go. This is what I'm going to do. I could choose to do something else, but this is what's been most impactful throughout my whole life. So when I say look at the patterns in your life, look at the situations, that's what I mean. You know, I started to look very closely and realize this is not something people usually talk about to children, as I was a child when this began.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, this is my way of how I had to go inside and make sense of stuff. I had to turn to other resources and you know, the outcome, I'm very pleased and I'm grateful and, you know, I'm honored to be able to do the work that I do. So it's just use your, when you hear the subtle inklings that are coming from source, and they may sound ridiculous, and maybe, you know, play a harmonica, play, you know, listen, because that harmonica is only a stepping, like a footbridge, and it leads you into your mission. But once you're in your mission, that's when everything opens up and your purpose becomes grand. And you realize, these are the tools I need. This is how I need to interact with people, and have the courage and trust in yourself and in others. And, you know, always just think, my big thing is just think, you know, vibe high and have big love. And this is what's worked for me.
Wow.
So that's my chapter.
Well, I'll tell you, I've enjoyed every one of the chapters in the book, and I highly recommend that our listeners go and get either the Kindle version or the actual book version, or both, which is what I did. I liked reading it on the Kindle because it's so easy to read it, but I love seeing the book. The book is so beautiful in person. It's just having it on the next to me on the sofa and looking at it while I was reading the Kindle version, which is so funny, you know, but I've always loved books, so I like both versions. I like real books, but I also like the Kindle versions because you can have so many books on that one little tiny thing that weighs almost nothing. And you can, and the older I get, the more I appreciate the fact that you can change the size of the type and make it whatever size is good for you, which for me is not too big, but it's definitely not super small. And every once in a while, because of buying books on Amazon, and this wasn't true of this book, but some of the books, I get them and I go, oh my gosh, the type is so small in this book.
Okay.
So I miss the days when we used to go to bookstores and look at books. But yeah, anyway, that was a long way of saying get the book, whichever version you like, whether you like electronic books or whether you like real books or if you like both. Get the books and read these chapters, because the stories that you all tell in there, everyone can learn from them and also be reminded of lessons, which I was reminded of so many lessons that I've learned throughout my life while I was reading the book. Let's talk a little bit about mission. So mastering your mission, Marsh talks about that. Which one of you wants to talk first about your mission and what that means to you?
This is Vanessa. I can go first.
Okay.
So as I briefly mentioned, you know, to me, is mastering your mission is, it ultimately leads you, you know, to your grandest purpose. This is the space where you could learn more about who you are, your capabilities, how you're able to express yourself to the fullest, and things will show up because you're in that space looking for it. And so it's actually been a quite amazing journey for me, because I didn't think all these things within 1 year. You know, I started my business. I'm seeing clients regularly. Now I've been able to contribute to a very beautiful book be side by side by amazing people. I've met so many different people and working on different projects. And so this is the mission. This is the footbridge to my purpose. And, you know, I may have thought that my purpose is one thing, but no, the purpose is a book in itself with many chapters that are still needed to be revealed. So this is why it's so important to be able to speak and speak to women or, you know, people in general that, you know, don't be afraid. You know, what may look like a harmonica at first can be something very, very huge that this world needs.
So I think what you're saying, though, is that by following what interests you and what you're curious about and also your favorite things, as Tanya was saying, that sort of can lead you almost like breadcrumbs, you know, Hansel and Gretel, toward
mm-hmm.
your mission then. Is that right?
I see actually the mission as the playground for your purpose. That's
oh, I love that, the playground for your purpose.
Yeah, so that's what the mission has been for me. I've been able to expand so much and explore so much in all directions just by crossing over into my mission, because the mission, and, you know, for me, it wasn't something that I liked or something, you know, I had a different way of walking into my purpose. It was kind of a very loud voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I didn't have to do the process of, you know, elimination or any of that. It was just, you know, boom, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how it happened for me. But boom, this is how it is probably happening to everybody, but we don't know how to recognize it. And overthinking it sometimes gets in the way. But yes, you know, use the space of your mission to expand your purpose. That is the one message that I wanted to get out there, and it's to listen to the tiniest little voices that you hear, because your body will feel it. Your
mm-hmm.
body will feel the love, you know, about it. And you have to explore it. You have to give it a chance. That's my suggestion anyways.
Wow, I love your answers. I can't wait to listen back to what you guys said on the show. Okay, we only have about 7 minutes left. Can you believe how fast it's going? It just seems like it's going way too fast. Tanya, what's your answer about the mission? What did you discover while writing this?
And I love what Vanessa just said. And, you know, for me, it was trusting self, and the only way I could really get into trusting self so that I can get into that space is through prayer and meditation. When I think of mastering my mission, which is to really, you know, share my experience and my life and my strength, I guess, my strength with others, is to, you know, really just, and the compassion piece and the love. I mean, there's just, it seems like a lot of it's already been said. But one of the big things too is fear, like overcoming fear. Sometimes fear can be of you know, self, and Vanessa just touched upon it too. You know,
mm-hmm.
Listening to that, you know, getting to that point where, you know, I can sit still long enough and tap into source and to and take that time and to continue to practice, because it's like life is like, my life is not like something that just is what it is, and that's it. I mean, it's a constant practice of, you know, especially mastering your mission. I mean, it's like there's no master for me. mastering. It's like it's all a day by day, a practice by practice, a continuing to evolve, and, you know, and just knowing that there's a strength inside of me and a power greater than me that I can tap into to help guide me, and that's that's really important to me, especially right now with all that, you know, we've been experiencing, is that just knowing that I'm surrounded by love and that love is within me and that I can tap into it. And that helps me to continue to master my mission and keep one foot going in front of the other.
That is beautiful. Wow. And it's a good time right now when people that aren't used to working from home and are home can maybe find some a little bit more time and do that. We only have 4 minutes left, so something really quick that each of you want to leave our audience with today. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first. It's Tanya. One thing that's really important is just knowing that, you know, if you're reading the book or listening to this interview, is knowing that you're not alone, you know, knowing that you're not alone. And, you know, there's all these different chapters, all these beautiful women, and it's like none of us have been able to get to where we are alone, you know. And so that even taps into self-love, is just knowing that I'm not alone, and that I need help, and that it's okay to need help, and, you know, it's okay to be okay with me needing help. Like, I don't know if I'm making any sense. I hope I'm making sense.
Oh, you are.
But that's,
totally
of course,
are.
Of course.
You totally are.
You know, sometimes.
Well, Vanessa, what do you have to say to leave the audience with?
I'm hoping that this book reaches many hands, and that they become aware that to be open to inspiration, creativity, to love, to sharing, to telling stories, to allowing yourself and your true self to just be there and have a point of reference in case you feel like you're alone.
You know, that's one of the things, you're right, that I think this book really shows, is how incredibly powerful it is to reach out to other people and to realize that you're not alone. So I'm so glad that you both talked about that, because there's so many people that are alone, and then the people who live alone right now while you're stuck at home, hopefully they have a cat or a dog or both.
Yeah.
So they can have them. But, you know, luckily there's a lot of ways we can connect with people around the world, because we're lucky to have internet and telephones and things like that, and able to do that. I just want to say thank you both for writing your stories in the book and for being on my show today and all of the ways that you're living your music, because the world needs us all to get out there and live the music that's in our heart. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you for providing a platform and your voice, Margo. Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, everyone out there, please tell your friends about this show and also the other three shows. And while we're at home, this is a way that you can start thinking about what your music is and start making a list of your favorite things. So, everyone out there, live your music.
Yes.
Live your music
and live
a life that is full of love. That's what I hear both of you saying. Live a life that is
absolutely pure love.
Pure love. Well, thank you both for being on the show. Thank you again for writing your stories. And bye for now, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.